Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Are you ready to hear some football history? Because in this episode, we discuss a stadium named for a famous NFL coach that opened, a birthday of one of the truly three great true kickers in the Hall of Fame is remembered, and one of the top Cincinnati Bengals players ever celebrates his birthday. These stories and more coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the portal of positive football history and the pig pen. That's what we call this place. And to SportsHistoryNetwork.com, your headquarters of sports yesteryear. We have some great football history to share with you today for August 19th. And what a day it truly is. We're going to be all over the football spectrum here with some great information that probably much of it you remember. So let's go back to our football history headlines all the way back to 1983 on August 19th, and former Louisiana State University and AFL/NFL football star Billy Cannon, if you go to our August 2nd post, you'll know who Billy Cannon is, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for counterfeiting after getting involved in some bad real estate investments. After serving 2.5 years, he was hired by the correctional facility he served time in to be their dentist, a profession he had practiced after his college days. August 19th, 2000, Cincinnati's Paul Brown Stadium opens for its first live action and preseason contest as the Bengals hosted the Chicago Bears. In our newspapers.com football history headline of the day, we use the Cincinnati Enquirer's August 20th, 2000 headline of Bengals finally capitalize in red zone. The story celebrates the fact that the Bengals offense went 3-for-3 inside the Chicago Bears 20-yard line for the three first half touchdowns to help them to a 24-20 victory. Former number one pick, Akili Smith, went 21 of 29 for 184 yards and led three scoring drives in the win, giving hope to Bengals fans for the 1999 NFL Draft's number 3 overall selection. Now, Paul Brown Stadium, of course, was named for the great head coach, Paul Brown, who was formerly with the Cleveland Browns. And then after a few decades of coaching there, he ended up being dismissed from the Browns and ended up moving and getting a franchise in the AFL, the Cincinnati Bengals, which he was the owner and coach of at first. And his family still owns it. You know, of course, we lost him a few decades ago. But what a contributions that Paul Brown has given to the NFL. A lot to do with integration. He was one of the first NFL teams to reintegrate minority players into the NFL back in the AAFC when he coached the Browns, and him and the LA Rams in the NFL. And, you know, Marion Motley and Jim Brown and just some of those great players that they had from that era. We talked about that with George Bozica on our Jersey number 76 podcast, and that great series we have going on, so hope you're enjoying that. And we also hope you're enjoying some words from our sponsor, and today it's Row One Brand, so take a listen. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Definitely have to check out the link to the August 19th blog post on pigskindispatch.com for August 19th. And look at that Row One ad that we have in there. A very colorful, old, retro Cincinnati Bengals helmet on a ticket stub. I believe it is from the year 1977. And what a colorful black and orange ticket stub that is. Great to look hanging on your wall if you're a Bengals fan or if you know a Bengals fan. Just tremendous artwork by Row One Brands Pictorum Gallery. Take advantage of that 15% discount. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays for August 19th. We'll go all the way back to 1946. Bob Johnson. He was a center from Tennessee who entered into the College Football Hall of Fame ranks in 1989. Johnson finished sixth in a Heisman voting in 1967, and pretty darn great for an offensive lineman to finish sixth in the Heisman voting. Wow, that is truly a great competitor there. August 19th, 1958, Ontario, California. Anthony Munoz, he was a 6'6", 278-pound offensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals for 13 seasons. Anthony starred at both college football and baseball at Southern Cal. In fact, the big man, who also pitched on USC's 1978 National Championship baseball team, was considered to be one of the best offensive linemen of his generation per a Yahoo.com report. Anthony was selected third overall in 1980's NFL draft by the Cincinnati Bengals. And during his pro career, Munoz started in 184 of his 185 total NFL games that he dressed for. He played in 11 consecutive Pro Bowls and was the NFL Offensive Lineman of the Year three different times. Mr. Munoz played in both of the Bengals' Super Bowl appearances, which were Super Bowl 16 and 23, which were each narrow losses to Bill Walsh's San Francisco 49ers teams. He was named to the NFL's 1980s All-Decade Team and the NFL 75th Anniversary Teams. His great play at the position earned him a place in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio in 1998's induction class. Truly a great lineman, Anthony Munoz, one of the best ever. August 19th, 1960, Morton Anderson was a Pro Football Hall of Fame kicker, most notably for the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints in the NFL. The Danish-American kicker had a remarkable 26-year career in the NFL. He attended Michigan State University prior to his NFL career, and for his career, Anderson booted 565 field goals through the uprights in 709 attempts, and he kept a lofty 98.8% accuracy with his 849 extra points made in 859 attempts. Morton is one of only three kickers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that did not play any other position. The others were Jan Stenerud and Ray Guy. You know, some good company to be in there. Of course, we had, you know, we just mentioned the other day in our Football by Numbers, you know, Lou the Toe Groza, but he played some other positions. Same with George Blanda, who we've talked about before. He played some other positions on the field. And there was a few others that did some kicking. I believe Paul Hornig, the great running back of the Green Bay Packers, did some kicking for them, as well as some others throughout history. Kicking was, just a luxury. So you'd have one of your best guy on your team that could kick, and sometimes that was your star player, like in Hornig's case, or George Blanda. So, you know, we have a great history there with these gentlemen that were born on August 19th. You know, both Munoz and Morton Anderson in the NFL, and Bob Johnson, the University of Tennessee's great offensive lineman. And, Paul Brown and his opening of that Paul Brown Stadium happening in the year 2000. And, also Billy Cannon getting a little bit of trouble, but he was a great player, and I'm glad that he could, after he got out of the prison, he was able to serve time being the dentist at the prison, helping those guys that he served his time with to have some better oral hygiene and you know, work on her teeth a little bit. That's always a good thing. So we always have to have that positive spin here. We're the positive portal to football history. So we hope you enjoyed us. You can look us up on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Also, you can go to Reddit at the subreddit of our sports history. We post there quite often. We are also found on LinkedIn under Darren Hayes, Facebook Darren Hayes, or you can go to the Pigskin Dispatch page on Facebook page there. You can also email us pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Send us your your feedback. If you want to get a daily email address, you can subscribe on our website, Pigskin Dispatch, or just email me, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. I'll gladly put you on that daily emailing list. You'll know all the events that are coming out on Pigskin Dispatch for that day. We send that once a day, shortly before 7 a.m. Eastern, and you'll know everything that's going on with football history coming out on pigskindispatch.com. You can also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where we and 20-some other podcasters are just bringing you some great sports history each and every day. The headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. Make sure you check out those great folks over there that are doing some wonderful things with great guests and great sports history topics. And so till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.